again in like 30 seconds. Automatic gain is now in 8. Oh, really? Star 4 is supposed to have an automatic. So proud of you. Well, hi. Should we just start with Adam?
Yep.
Hey, complete or incomplete?
Complete.
You? Complete.
Okay, and I thought it was very interesting, actually, in the book, in the second chapter about the 6 ways to turn your desires into gold.
Huh?
The very first thing was actually interesting to me, because I didn't know you had to have an exact amount of money in your mind.
Oh,
I thought you could just say, I
want to be rich, right?
Yeah, I want to have enough money I can do anything. Oh, I didn't know that until I read that.
So, like, it's the first chapter that has the 6 steps.
That's the first step of the 6, and it's the second chapter.
Okay, but the first chapter is
page 17.
Oh. Yeah.
What?
Page what?
17.
Mine is what? Page. I'm a very old copy.
Well, what? It's desire for you still, right? Chapter 2? Okay.
Step 1 toward riches, desire.
Oh, well, maybe there's more to that. I was only looking at the... Mm-hmm. Like, just desire, the starting point of all achievement. The first step toward riches. Oh, it says it afterwards.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. And then it lists, mine later on in that chapter lists all 6. The 6 steps that turn desire into gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was real interesting. And, you know, it's, I was thinking about it before I got on the phone about how that really has worked for me.
Really?
Yeah. You know, if I just write goals down and I put them away in my time management book and I don't think about them for a while, and then I look back on them 6 months later, I'm always surprised for some reason. I know how it works. I'm always surprised that there are so many of them that have come to me.
Really?
Yeah.
And you didn't... But they were specific, right?
Yes, absolutely specific. Very specific.
That's been my problem all along, is I don't think I've ever... Well, I can't say I've never been specific about a goal, but when I have been specific, I've gotten them, and when I haven't been specific, I haven't gotten it.
Like my Mercedes, right?
Huh?
I wanted a blue ML 320.
Then you got it.
Got it.
Then you sold it.
I want something else. Thank you very much. I've used it now. I'm going to try something else.
Is it still just you and me? I think so. I thought
I'm here. Oh, who's that?
This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I'm sitting. Well, that's good. I like it. I'm sitting here eating dinner at my mother's 88th birthday party.
Oh, wow.
We need to sleep. What was that?
I think it was.
And now I'm outside, so now we've got three motorcycles and 2 cars to buy.
Oh, that's very
good. And me shopping. So hopefully... The recording is on at home, so hopefully it hasn't turned off by itself. And it's actually recording it. I'm not home to babysit it tonight.
Uh-oh. Well, how was your week?
it was wild. It was just an absolute wild week. We had Dennis Williams in town.
Oh, of course.
You know, this is an amazing, because of all the different groups that are in the Salt Lake area, we've got Dennis Williams in last week, Dave Johnson in this week, and Reed Nelson in next week.
And my
son and I kept Dennis busy enough that he said he was coming back in a month or two. I actually got an email today. It was just hilarious. I got an email from Bill Ship. I'm going, what in heck?
Kevin is Steve. Yo, it's Steve.
You need a rhino case. I dropped my phone.
Oh,
but anyway, I got this email from Bill Ship today. I said, I didn't order anything. And I looked down there, and there was a brand new preferred customer.
Oh, how
funny. Have no clue who it was. But one of my people that I've talked to in the last month took me seriously, went to the website, and ordered some projects, and I have no idea who it is.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that... What a gift. What a gift.
So when you talk about problems moves, it's pretty exciting.
Hey, tell me, do you have any contacts in northern Texas?
No.
Okay.
The only people I know down there are the ones that I've met at the summit, like, you know, the Dorsey and, you know, and those guys.
Okay. Looking for somebody around
the Lubbock
area.
Lubbock? Well, actually, I do have some good lifestyle friends from Texas. Got a couple of people, Margaret Johnson. I think she's in Plano. I don't know how far away from Lubbock that is.
I don't either.
But Margaret is an absolute awesome go-getter. And let's see, who else? There's another lady from Texas from the calls. I have to go back and think. I called the other lady. I can't think of her name right now, but I'll think about it. But, well.
Cool. Thank you. I have a couple people that down there that in a real small town that I need to get connected with somebody right outside of Lubbock.
Good, because of your tenacity, because of your utter guts and the fact that you guys are stars and cannot be put out. I'm here tonight. I'm thrilled. And I'm completely honored.
Well, you're the reason we shine.
Oh, man. I'm a jar of polish is what I am.
Oh, my God.
You are.
So deep.
I was a little bit tardy tonight. Thank you all for being in the gallery on this call, and those who are active participants who are nothing more than gladiators in disguise. I wish you could see them. Each one impressive in their own right. It's just phenomenal. But they're wearing so little that, you know, we'd have to just kind of...
That's our gladiator suits.
All right. I was just on Terry Latham's call. Steve, did you get complete or incomplete this week?
I'm going to say complete.
Well, then you have, with the two of you, fulfilled the requirement of being complete for your team.
Yay! Good job, Steve.
And we know Steve T is rest in peace, and maybe this week in the gallery, and working had to change his work schedule. There was no one else on that team. There was four at one time. Fourth.
Brad.
Oh yeah, Brad.
You called on me.
Very good.
I am complete.
Ah. You see, we only have the best on this call.
I was big last week, too.
I know, you've been complete for a string of weeks. Not only have you been complete, but you're introducing a life-changing experience to a bunch of people on a regular basis.
Yeah. She is awesome. She really is.
She is. And she shows up to the Thursday night presentations just to inspire me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Somebody has to do it.
He's like the most amount of awesome.
Yes.
Dean, are you with us? You all noticed that Dean sent out something that I got over the internet. Did you get that? Sent it through Dave Johnson.
Say that again? What happened with Dean?
He sent something out. It was the Jeff Van Blaricum stuff. Did you get that? Or he wrote something on the bottom of it. I saw their name on there. Well, where are they?
I don't know.
They're in your group.
I'm in your group.
I've been playing
phone tag for 2 weeks.
Wow. So it's the terrific trio here tonight.
No shoe? Yeah, I was going to say, who else is there supposed to be?
Well, there is a shoe out there because today, Shu and I just added two more people to his group. Shu's added about three or four people recently. Guy is going like a flat crazy monkey, and I believe he actually went to Dick and Nancy Walker's wellness preview tonight and is currently at that preview with a brand new doctor's wife that they're just signing up tonight.
Oh my.
Well, I guess it's okay then.
Yeah, well, Shu's, when I saw him, he was flexing in the sunset. He was just doing the old Tarzan cheer, you know, getting it all done. So, Shu's doing good. It's just that, unfortunately, there was a special preview on Monday night, and it was right in the middle of our call. Well, let's find out. Did any of you have any really sterling, spectacular, really cool, over-the-top, wild things that you did this week?
Had a great time with Dennis Williams.
He's already in.
Yeah, I know. But he was working. He was working for my group.
So fill us in. What happened? How did that work?
Well, he here, Craig. To tell him what Dennis helped you with. Who am I talking to? Our staff on the group. I got in front of five new people. Got in front of two. In front of one distributor. And on the phone with another distributor in another state in 2 days, about 7 or 8 hours with him.
Wow, Greg. Is Steve your dad?
Yeah, he's my son.
Is Greg back on still?
No.
He's out of hands dead here. I got questions to answer.
I got questions.
Greg, are you there?
I am.
What did Dennis do for you? And was it any different than anyone else has done for you?
Dennis and I spent basically 2 afternoons together. He came into town on Tuesday last week and did a meeting for another one of his group underneath the Ersteds. Did a meeting, and I was able to have one person to that.
the next day I was able to spend a couple hours with him. Went to two different appointments. One is we did first look and sort of told his story, and he told a lot of experiences that he'd had over the years, and then went to a person that was just a, hey, I'm going to be in the area, would you mind if I drop by? We actually went to his work. We spent some time there with him and did first look. And again, this is funny because the person we went to see is a tattoo artist. And we went and saw him in the tattoo parlor. Dennis said he'd never been in one of those before.
Yeah, that would be sort of new territory.
It was actually a lot of fun. You know, so got Dennis to learn about, you know, what it, you know, about the tattoo industry and that. And it was sort of neat for him.
So I'm going to be at Dennis's house on Thursday. Is he going to have anything new to show me?
No, he's not getting any ink.
Okay.
He didn't get any ink at the on the appointment. And
quite at some later date.
Yeah. Then the next day we went and saw another person that was our first introduction. She actually wasn't there yet, so I was really waiting for her to get home from work. I got on the phone with one of my distributors out of Colorado and talked with his wife. And then went from there to another one of my first level distributors' homes and just sat and talked with her and her daughter. And, you know, all the stories that he tells, it's what he tells, and very simple, very soft-spoken, just Dennis.
Now, based on what you heard Dennis do and seeing what Dennis did, do you plan to modify anything that you do?
No, because most of the stuff I do is telling Dennis's story and using Dennis's wellness preview, and then, you know, showing the first look and telling people what's possible. A lot of times if I have the opportunity to, I try to call someone in my group, either up in Washington State or Greg Gruny out in Virginia, on the first appointment just to say, hey, this is what's available, this is what can be done. Simple and easy.
Yeah, you know, are you more inspired to make it now?
Oh, definitely. After spending, you know, 2 days with him and seeing how simple it really can be. I mean,
right. So, again, I want this group to know, if they were to work with Dennis Williams, what would they see that's simple?
Well, the simplest thing about working with Dennis is the fact that he tells the same story every time. You know, he tells, this is what I did, this is, you know, I'm sure you've all listened to his I Basically Believing in Yourself CD, where it says, you know, Frisbee. You know, come to conversation, relate it to your business, see if there's interest, you know, go through that. And that's all he does. It's, as he has a story that relates to it, you know, if he has someone that has a specific physical challenge, he tells someone that relates. If he has someone that's dealing with a specific financial challenge, he tells a story that relates. You know, all he's got to do is find, ask the questions and find the needs and go from there. It's really that, it's that simple.
You do it.
And then find someone that's hungry. And if you've got someone that's hungry, you teach them how to eat.
Could you do that?
What was that?
Could you do what Dennis did?
Yeah.
If you came up and you were going to work with, let's say, Becky, and you were cross-line, and Becky took you to people, you now know what to do.
Definitely.
What would you do first?
The first thing we did is we found out what their needs were, or what their interest was. We showed first look, asked their opinion, and they gave, you know, what they thought about, you know, whether it's that business industry or those products industry, we'd show them products, or we'd show them business, or we'd talk to them about business. It's extremely simple. You know, I think as people, we overcomplicate things just because that's what we are as people. You know, our skepticism says it can't be as simple as that. And it is.
It's true. So one final question. Did you find that method to be as effective as anything you've used before?
When it comes to using the first look as opposed to the ABC guide, it's more clear and concise because you're not the one doing the talking.
And what material does the first look cover?
It covers the same thing as the ABC guide covers, but it's doing it so that you're not the one asking the questions. It's, here's the presentation, this is what it is. And then afterwards you can ask them what hot button hit for them.
So you find that to be somewhat simple?
Yes, extremely. You know, it's like my dad was saying in the call you guys did last week, it's push, power, push, play. Simple, easy. Show anyone they can do it, because that's all you do is push, power, push, play.
And did you see a change in the look on the people's faces you were presenting to? See a change in their sense of whether they could do it or not?
Over the course of our first and third appointment, I really did. Our second appointment, he was, you know, a little skeptical, wasn't really interested. So it was, you know, good for you, good luck. Keep in touch with me later, but it's not for me.
Uh-huh, good, and it's a good thing to know right out of the shoot, right?
Yeah, and, you know, he was right up front, and I figured he would be, but he's an extremely entrepreneurial person. But he's just a neat guy that I really enjoyed. He used to be an employee of mine a couple of years ago, and I enjoy working with him. So while we were in the area, you know, the first one we went on was about, I don't know, a mile or so away from his shop where he worked. They gave him a call, hey, we're in the area. Would you mind if we swing by?
Did you, Andy, I'm going to, is your dad on now?
He's not. I'm going to go back over to him.
Thank you for giving us information like that.
Not a problem. Okay, let's get my dad here. Hello.
Steve, you need to have two phones in your house so he could listen.
Well, actually, I'm at my mother's 88th birthday party.
Oh, well, say happy birthday. You put her on, we'll sing.
So
Steve, did you get the gist of what we were asking him?
You know what? I was not right next to him, but I'm hopeful I've got it on recording, and I'll know.
All right, here's the gist. Well, let's encapsulate, Debbie. What were we asking him?
Well, if it was easy, what part was easy? What he did? But you knew what Dennis Williams did.
Yeah, I can. What Dennis?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was fun. We got together with my youngest daughter's boyfriend Saturday morning. And in 10 minutes is all he had before he had to catch his plane. But I wanted to get this kid in front of him because he's just turning 18. And he had been blown away by the products and being around our family and seeing what the products did. And he wants to get going. And I just wanted to get him in front of, you know, Dennis so a little bit could rub off. And, you know, Dennis sat down and says, you know, just, you know, Steve can tell you how to do it. You know, I'm not worried about that. But I just wanted to just tell you a little story. And he sat down and told Vince Rogers' story. And just built the vision here, this 24-year-old boy, you know, took it seriously. And before he was 30, he was a Meekin millionaire. And, man, I could have said a gazillion things, and, you know, that was what just kept him up. Got a call last night. He's ready to sign up. So,
That's cutting to the chase, isn't it?
Yeah. But he had 10 minutes, and that's what he did. You know, he just cut to the chase. Of course, I told Dennis, you know, this is what I've done with him. I laid out, you know, I'd given him the launch packet. I told him to fill it out. I told him what to do. I told him, no, I'm going to work with him. I gave him a little ideas about the dream building and stuff, and this is what you want to do here. And he took it home, and now he's coming to his first Walmart preview tomorrow night. So we'll find out.
Are you different now?
I've been good. Yeah, every week I'm different. You know, it's just like being 3 feet away from the gold vein again. You know, just you want to quit, and the next day you're so high you can't stand it. So,
have you ladies heard a difference in Steve's demeanor since we started the call?
Yes.
And really, he's rising to the occasion, and that's really pretty remarkable since Steve has heard more of these kinds of calls than anybody in the history of Pathfinders, I think. And recorded most of them and probably transcribed them and had two of them tattooed on his back.
Yeah, I didn't see it on my back, but my forearm, it's a different story.
And this is something that a pastor one time told me. I'll share a couple real important things here. And how sometimes women get frustrated when their husbands forget stuff they shouldn't forget?
Oh, like anniversary.
Yeah, and they never seem to forget themselves. Have you ever seen a woman just roll her eyes up? You know, like holy smokes! You know why they do that? Because all the instructions to life are written on the inside of their eyelids.
Oh, I thought it was a little silent prayer.
So it's really not fair because they didn't write it on ours.
Well.
Yeah. And then I heard one good one today when the guy was trying to, pastor was trying to figure out, he couldn't remember somebody's name, who was one of the great authors in past history, and he says, isn't it frustrating that just about the time your faith clears up, your mind goes fuzzy? Whatever that pertains to. Well, the key is that every week, we always have to come back to the basics of simplicity. And so I want to throw this out to Debbie, and then we'll get into our questions about the books and the tapes and stuff. But Debbie, in terms of the simplicity and the simplicity of Nican, how would you describe it to a brand new person? What it is that they could do to become successful, the minimum required, but it's the vision that goes along with it. How would you describe that?
How would I describe this? Seeing lots of people and asking the right questions. And always remembering to ask if they would like to learn more.
So that last one is probably the one that most folks fail on.
They forget.
Or do they forget on purpose or by accident?
I think you have to develop your memory. I think, Jerry, what happens is you get so excited because you're doing it, right? And you're listening to your mouth and it's working for the first time ever, and you go, oh, wow, and you turn around and walk away, and you've forgotten to ask them if they want to know anything else.
No, I think that you're kind of onto something there. So I'm going to ask Becky, because she's got all these years of experience.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
How would you best ensure that your people, is there one maybe little drill or skill or something they could do to make certain that they don't forget that part?
Tattoo it on their head, on their forehead. And always carry a mirror. Probably not.
Have the ignition sequence guide and launch with you and go down the checklist.
Yeah.
Show people what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, that leads kind of to the question, do you think this is something you could do?
Yeah. Just keep telling them.
For me, I have to just constantly keep telling them, reminding them of the things that they should say, or asking them, you know, well, did you ask them if they wanted to learn more? And sometimes they say, no, I forgot. And sometimes they say, yeah, and they said no, or no, thank you, or whatever, you know.
Have you ever thought whether it would be more powerful to review that material before or after you go into the meeting?
Before.
Why?
Because you know what to expect. And if it's fresh in your mind, it's fresh in your mind. If it's rusty, it's rusty.
Well, sometimes after, then you learn what you should have done.
It's true. Yeah, we're reviewing that. It's very true. But the most effective time to hit it is before, so that somebody could know. If you know exactly when you're finished, before you start, what your goal is, what you're trying to accomplish, someday you will be done with a conversation. Have you ever noticed that many Nikan people never get done with a conversation after a 3.5 hour presentation?
Yes. Some of them still remain nameless.
Yeah, like everybody who ever started this business. And as a result, we even see some of the greatest names in the business go too long in a presentation. Has that ever occurred?
Yes. Again, 2 weeks ago.
Remain nameless.
So, one of the hardest things to do is that we're creative people. We're excited people, and when we learn something new, we want to transmit that to the next person that we bounce across. Problem is, they're not ready to understand what you're about to say because you've had all the preparation to understand it. They have not. And so when they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate, you wonder, did I say something in Egyptian that they didn't understand? Well, you did say something they didn't understand because you had all of this cursory preeminent knowledge, and they've never heard of it before. And you're jumping to things and conclusions and places that they don't even know exist. They didn't even know the road was there, let alone where the road leads. So we have to take care to say, what are we going to present? Remember when we worked down to the simplest common denominator early on? If somebody wanted to be successful, what would they have to do? They'd have to get in, get on auto ship, bring one person every month who does the same thing, and attend and stuff and be enthusiastic, and that's about it, right?
Okay.
They could transfer that vision or take people to somebody else who could transfer it, and you could win this game. If we get too complicated, we're in trouble. So, Debbie, this last week, I did a short presentation.
It was perfect.
And do you think it was okay for a brand new person that was brought to hear product testimonials?
Probably there could have been a little more product, but I think what you did was, if I recall correctly, what you did was ask if there were any new people in the auditorium. Right? And I don't remember that there were any.
There were no guests. There were people who were signed up and brand new, wet behind the ears, but no guests.
So I think what you did was ideal for that group. And I'm sure if you'd found that there were guests there, you would have asked for some product testimonials at the beginning.
A bit more, that's true. And yet, what I did was come unprepared, so I didn't have a flip chart, but tried to stay fairly close to it anyway.
It was fine. It was perfect. It was concise and to the point, and no one fell asleep at 8:05.
Yeah, because it was done at 7:51.
Exactly. At a certain point, you just kind of, I think when they go on too long, they become contrite.
That's a good point.
And you lose people's interest. I think you need to grab them, hold them, and let them go wanting more.
That is one of the hardest things in our business. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Why is that?
Because we are so excited, we want to vomit Nikan on them. And we want to tell them everything we know and paint the picture so that they can be as excited as we.
I think that's very true. And I heard this the other day, if this may ring a bell for some of you, that it's so hard to get with some of these people for a follow-up because they won't answer their phone, you can't get them, they're not in town, whatever. That the next person's going to suffer because we're not letting them go until they get the whole story.
Yeah.
And as a result, what you've done to the next person is you've ruined the possibility for that person to get in because they sort of say, if it takes 3 hours, punish people till they have no resistance and then they sign up, I don't have 3 hours every night and I'm going to feel like garbage in the morning.
Yeah. Or I can't do that, or I don't want to do that.
Yes. So we're, every so often we come to the point where we say, we're going to have our previews and they're going to come out of the flip chart and nobody's allowed to veer from that. And then we veer from it.
Yeah. Well, we put the chart down because we know what's in the chart. And we start to expound on all the beautiful attributes of the business product.
And yet, the group that I presented to this last week was already in. And we still use the basic tenets of the flip chart. And they still were attentive, even though they were already in and we used the flip chart. But some of those people have been there for 12 years watching the same presentation over and over again.
That's okay. Someday they'll get it.
Oh, that's a great way to put that.
Someday they'll get it. I mean, we didn't learn to walk in 1 hour. We learned to walk by falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up. And I think you just have to hear it over and over and over again. It's so deep in your conscious or your subconscious, it just comes out of your...
And that's important. But wouldn't it be easier if you do what Dennis Williams did initially, where you could lip sync 10 years later his original wellness preview, right, Steve?
Yes.
Steve heard those 10 years ago. And literally every preview he does now, you could literally lip sync from the... Well, now he's changed it a little bit lately. But prior to that, it was the same thing. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, his CD, the Wellness Preview CD, is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. He added owners to it and a few things that weren't in his original one. But that original one he did the same way for 9 years. And most people don't have the discipline to do that. He said something very profound. He said that when they got into Nikan, they had been involved with another company for 18 years. That was Shackley. He said the big thing that they learned in that other company was they kept trying to change the stories over and over again to keep the distributor base interested. And what they became aware of was that once they began to have success, it was when they started to change the audience, not the story, which is pretty critically important. To change the audience, that's bringing new people. Every wellness preview is much more exciting if there are prospects than it is if there are none. Even for those who've been to 1,000 previews before, and those people who have told their stories over and over again, and you could call on them and they would not even want to present their story at a wellness preview, they would, those folks that wouldn't want to present at the wellness preview because everybody had already heard it or they were bored or whatever. And you see that when a brand new person comes into town, they will all of a sudden want to present their story.
Oh, sure.
With great enthusiasm.
Oh, like it's brand new.
Yep, and it's because you changed the presenter. And that's when, like when Trish comes to town and she asks for people's testimonials, the place just hops. And a week later when somebody who's already heard their testimonial a couple of times is there, people go, oh, I don't know, I don't really have anything to offer, I've said this before. And that rubs off on the prospects. So it's really an interesting game, and we always come back to the idea that we're going to go back to the flip charts and we're going to keep it short. And I do, and then people talk me into going off of that, and then I do. So I think it's just really tantamount. We just had so many people whining lately that these 3 hours are killing us. So all of you out there who are listening in the gallery, remember that the wellness preview that is short, that piques someone's interest but doesn't let the whole story. How many of us would go to a movie if someone told us the plot and the story from start to finish? Would we be more or less likely to enjoy the movie? Well, we wouldn't even go. Wouldn't pay for the ticket. You already told me what it's like. Same thing with Nikan. Leave him wanting and leave him guessing and leave him jumping. Okay, anything you guys picked up from the reading? Well, we already had somebody picked up from the
because that's true. I mean, I knew that on some level, but I never really, really knew that you had to be specific with goals. I just never consciously paid attention to that. So,
well, I love that idea and that concept. Goals were always hard for me, and I'm only just beginning to learn how to use them. So, fill me in. When you deal with that goal situation, and you're starting to think about, okay, what do we do with these goals and that specific nature, what is a goal that comes to your mind that you thought of sometime in your life that was real specific, and so now as a result you go, oh, that those tie together? In other words, while you were reading, was there something in your own personal background history that sort of jumped out that, oh, yeah, that's why?
Sure. The problem is I can't think of one right now.
Well, list the three greatest accomplishments in your life.
Okay, my house.
Okay.
My car.
Okay.
My health.
Did any of those have a specific goal attached to them when you started?
Okay, that's good. There was a specific goal when I think it was probably, I was down to about a year's worth of car payments, and I made a specific goal to pay like $100 more a month so that I could pay it off sooner, and I did that faithfully every month, and I paid it off, so I think it was 3 months early.
Did you feel like once you set that in motion that every month you paid it off, you started gaining momentum?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Did you feel like you were gaining personal power?
Yeah, yeah.
So as a result, if we want to teach people to accomplish something, then we want to teach them to get maximum momentum and personal power. Relating what you just did back to some experience they've already had helps them to tie it in. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, and where it shocked me that specific goal thing was, I don't think I've ever sat down and actually figured out how much money coming in every month would make me truly happy and, you know, want to just go lay on the beach all day long and not have to worry about anything or whatever. It's always been, I just want to have enough money that I can do that. But there was never a specific amount. So in reading that, now I haven't done yet, but I need to sit down and figure out what that specific amount is, because now I understand that it's not going to come if I don't put it in my head.
Good. I heard the author the other day that said that, as he read his own materials, when you're thinking about how much money you need to accomplish some certain strategy, lots is not a number.
No. No.
Debbie, what about this in the specificity in what you're hearing her say? Are there any insights that you're gaining from that?
Gary, I've been a goal writer for, and what always happens, many years ago, what's really fun is to look back at what you've written for goals, maybe 5, 6, 7 writers.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see where you are in relationship to those goals is interesting. Because I do 1-year goals and
5 years old, 10 years old, 5, 10. And so periodically I revisit those goals that I have as to where I am in the process. And it's always fun for me to look back and mark off the things that I've accomplished or I've acquired or the directions that I've gone as a result of creating that goal in the past. And maybe I didn't even put a lot of conscious effort into attaining that goal. I wrote it down, put it in my book, and then went about my life and still got it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's an uncommon discipline?
Writing goals?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So as a leader, as you're trying to guide other people to gain momentum and success in their lives, what are some of the strategies that you would use to help them get it where they wouldn't normally?
Yeah, the goal, the necessity for the goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a leader is ability.
It very much is. Very much.
It's so huge, it's not even to believe. I guess I would try and share the importance of having a direction. And if you relate it to being on board a ship, I mean, we lived on a sailboat, so I can really relate to setting the chart and drawing the course, following the course till you get to your desired location. So, you know, I think I would relate it to that sort of scenario is, you know, ships don't just go around in circles. You point it to the direction you want to go, and you stick the pointy end that way, and you go. And so you just write down one little goal. And maybe some days the goal is just to plain pick up the phone and call one person. And maybe it's to take a shower. Who knows what the goal might be. But start with little steps until you can finally see that a bigger step is in order.
Well, do you still own a sailboat or a boat?
Actually, we have a little 18-foot runabout.
Okay.
Sold the 40-foot sailboat, but we still have a pointy end to follow.
Could you see that it might be interesting or fun to start visualizing a group of people in your team who, on a given day, show up at the dock with their life jacket on and ready to gain perspective on this subject